Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today is podcast number 1307. The topic is Q&A and the title is Pre-Workout Energy Trick. Sounds interesting, I hope. Or at least that's hopefully why you clicked on it. So what this actually came up from was a listener send in some information, kind of why we have a Q&A podcast, so you can send in questions and I can send out answers. I will do this for any topic and for anyone. So if you ever want to send something in, please do. That's the whole point of the podcast, is just to help people just cut through all the BS and give people some real answers. And today's is actually a fun example of that, in the sense that what we're going to discuss is something, this is going to deter you at first here. What we're going to discuss today is something that most people don't need. That's the deterrent. But the fun part of learning about it is learning more about how the body works, and then learning how to clarify or kind of understand what do I actually need to pay attention to. So let's get into this and it'll make a little more sense as we go. So a listener sent in the question, "Hey Rob, I'm always listening to whatever I can find. Just wondering if you could listen to the 15-second clip and tell me if this is true. I hope I did the clip right because the video is over 2 hours long." Yeah, so it's a podcast. Actually, I've already started listening to it in its entirety because I love learning new things. So the clip that they gave me was awesome. And essentially what the small clip discussed was the rate of glucose absorption. So you eat like food, and part of what we eat is carbohydrates. A subsection of carbohydrates is sugars. Sugars, when they're digested and broken down and put into the bloodstream, are called glucose. So glucose is just a fancy word for sugar. Our body runs off sugar. Our brain runs almost exclusively pretty much off sugar. So it's a useful thing for the body to have, especially for performance. So this person was talking in regards to performance. They were wanting to maximize glucose absorption. We're going to talk about why somebody would do that here in a second. So they were saying that there were tricks to getting the body to absorb glucose faster. The tricks they stated was using multiple sources of glucose, adding sodium to the glucose that you're consuming, and adding caffeine. The listener kind of wanted to know, are these things true? Yeah, they are true. You can find a ton of studies to back up all this stuff. Absolutely true. Then they went on to say, "I've been taking 200 milligrams of caffeine an hour before training," perfect timing, "with a tablespoon of pink Himalayan salt," sea salt, okay, fancy. "Then about 10 minutes before my training session, I have black coffee mixed with raw honey. I use honey because I've heard it has 3 different natural sugars in it that break down at different speeds. Not sure if it works or if it's just placebo effect, but my pumps are pretty crazy and veins everywhere. Hard to believe from such simple ingredients." Awesome. So all that, yeah. black coffee is going to have the caffeine in it. If you mix it with honey, there's your glucose source. And then salting the caffeine drink that you have beforehand, like an hour out from the workout, that gets you your sodium. So they're attending to the variable things that are listed within what that sound bite that they sent me, what they refer to. You know, multiple glucose sources, yes. Sodium, yes. Caffeine, yes. So all of those tricks will help of the glucose that you consume, help it to get into your bloodstream and available for you to use faster. Now, there you could teach an entire college 3-course credit course on this topic of when is glucose absorption important in regards to the speed of it, who needs it, is, you know, what type of activity actually needs it, depending on what type of person. There is a million ways to get into this. I actually struggled a lot on how to try to answer this podcast because it is so complex but so fun in its complexity that it was hard for me not to say everything and get lost in like a 2-hour podcast. But what I want to do before I dive into some of the details of this is I want to point out that sometimes this type of information can be what confuses people. So they say, okay, if I listen to this, I'm like, oh, okay, for me to have the best workouts, I have to consume, multiple sources of glucose before my workout. I have to make sure I add sodium. Well, is it, pink Himalayan sea salt, or is table salt okay, like iodized salt? Caffeine, well, you know, maybe I have blood pressure concerns. Maybe if I can't do caffeine, does that mean that I'm screwed and I can never have the greatest workouts? Or should I still do the sodium, but what happens if I have blood pressure problems? You know, like maybe I'm sodium sensitive to blood pressure, so I can't have caffeine or sodium. And then, like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to do if I have blood pressure? Now I can't have any good workouts. And then what if I'm trying to lose weight? Should I have glucose? Like, should I have sugars before I, you know, like, try to exercise when I'm trying to exercise to lose body fat, and then you're telling me to drink sugars before I work out? It seems like chaotic. So this is information that absolutely can confuse people. I want to acknowledge that before we get into this. And as a way of addressing that, I want to say that we're going to answer, kind of look at this topic in two questions. Number one is, why would someone want to do this? So that way we understand some of it. And then number two, should I do it? That would be the greatest question, okay? And this is the one that's going to help simplify this in the sense of not making us feel too confused. If you do feel confused at nutrition at all, and like, what's important and what should I do, podcast 1232 is a nutrition podcast titled Start Here. It literally tells you where to start. This is the most important thing. Then this is the most important thing. Then this is. So if you were to look at glucose absorption rate before workouts and intra-workout, it's down the list quite a bit. So it's fun to look at because there are people who have done everything at the top of the list. And this is a place they're at. You know, so I've helped people earn pro cards in aesthetic sports like bodybuilding, you know, men's physique, women's physique, that kind of stuff. I've helped people get elite totals in powerlifting. I've helped Olympic athletes. I've helped professional athletes. I've helped people do like CrossFit Games, which is a crazy own type of event. I mean, I've helped MMA athletes. I've helped a lot of people that this topic is important. And it does play a role in their performance quality, which then plays a role in the outcome of their performance, which for some of them resulted in their way of life, how they paid the bills. So this is extremely important for some people. This is extremely unimportant for other people. Like unimportant, I guess, whatever the heck that the opposite of important is. Not important. There you go. So I'm not an expert at grammar, you can tell. But how would you know where you are in that kind of scheme? Like, how do I know if this is important for me? Podcast 1232 will help answer that. I'm also going to help answer it at the end of this podcast. Whew, okay, now that I got that out of the way, that this is going to be important for some and not important for some, I want to go ahead and talk about, okay, why would somebody do this? Therefore, like, who is it important for? So why would someone want to soak up as much glucose as humanly possible, as fast as is humanly possible? Energy. They want to have energy before the workout, during the workout, throughout, like from the start to the finish. They want to have peaked performance, the most amount of energy possible. If you've ever ran for any long distance, especially people who've run a marathon or half marathon, you'll hear the phrase like hitting the wall. Or if you've worked out fasted or underfed, you'll have gotten into the workout. Maybe you had some caffeine beforehand. You feel freaking awesome. And then all of a sudden, at some point in time in whatever activity you're doing, whether it's a marathon or a workout, you have this experience of like all of your energy just dropping out. And they say the phrase hitting the wall. Where you're just like, oh my gosh, I just want to lay down and take a nap. That is when kind of our glycogen, our glucose storage kind of depletes. That's typically a sign or a feeling that we get. Well, if I'm a professional athlete, or if I'm doing, how about MMA? I'm having somebody wanting to punch me in the face as hard as they can. I probably don't want to hit the wall at some point in time in that fight, because then I'll get punched in the face. That's a pretty good reason, pretty good motivation, we'll say, to not run out of glucose. You also have swimmers. I've helped Olympic-level swimmers nutritionally, and we had to feed them not only for the one race they did, but if they were doing multiple races, we had to do that. Track athletes, football players, basketball players. There's a bajillion sports and athletes that have multiple bout efforts with short to medium rest times. You could also argue that just a workout is that. You know, I do a set of 10 reps, then I take a rest. I do a set of 10 reps, and I take a rest, whatever your workout scheme is. You have a bout of effort. You have a little bit of rest time, a bout of effort. So what they're looking to do is say, okay, as I go through this activity, I'm going to be using up glucose. Well, how can I put glucose back in And for almost all activities, you're going to be putting, like, you're going to be using more glucose than you can get back in, regardless of all the tricks you can do. We just simply cannot get enough glucose back in for most activities in which we use glucose. So you want to be maximizing how fast you can get it in, so you run out later and later and later, so you can last longer and longer and longer. So that's the idea of why this would be important. They want to maximize their glucose at before the event, maximize their glucose replenishment during the event so they can maximize performance, right? Whew, now we got that going. I'm going through the list here. So how can we do that? Whether it's for an event or whether it's for a workout, and I've done this, like I said, in a bajillion different ways. The general scheme, and there's a bajillion individual differences here, but the general scheme, since I'm talking to the mass population, is it takes about 12 to 24 hours before an event to truly peak glycogen, which is stored glucose stores. So when you put glucose with sodium and water in your muscle, it's called glycogen. It can take 12 to 24 hours, depending on the person's muscle mass, depending on the activity and lifestyle that they have. There's a lot of variations, but it takes a while, okay? So it's not like you eat one meal before you go work out and you've maximized your glycogen stores. No. Does that help? Absolutely. Yes, it's better to eat a meal and then work out than to eat no meal and work out. But to truly maximize your glycogen stores, it takes 12 to 24 hours. How you would do that is you'd have to eat above caloric maintenance. Otherwise, you're just burning through the food that you're eating. So you have to eat above caloric maintenance for 12 to 24 hours leading into the event with a sufficient amount of glucose coming in. So you can't do just fats and protein like keto diet and eat a surplus and think you're carbing up. Like, obviously, you're not eating carbs. So therefore, you can't be like glucose loading if you're not eating glucose. But that would be the kind of the process, is you'd be in a caloric maintenance for 12 to 24 hours before the event. You would be eating a considerable amount of carbohydrates. Now, something to consider is that fats and proteins, the other kind of macronutrients that are in our food, they slow down the digestion of carbohydrates. So as I get closer to the event, I want to reduce and eliminate fat and protein, so that way, of the carbohydrates I eat, they get into my bloodstream and fill up my glycogen stores as fast as possible. So roughly, about 3 hours away from an event, we can eat a mixed food meal, fats, carbs, protein. Under 3 hours, we tend to kind of eliminate the fats and proteins and focus more so on kind of like from the 1 hour to 3 hour mark away, you can have more complex carbohydrates like, you know, bagel, bread, pasta, potatoes, things like that. But about an hour or less away from the workout or the event, you want to pretty much have sugars, straight up sugars, which is like hard candies, juices, drinks. You can do honey, like the listener said, even fruit. However, some people run into like digestive issues with fruits. And then if like during the event, people do like glucose gels or tabs. Tablets and whatnot. And then during that last 1 hour is when you'd start adding in the sodium, start adding in the caffeine. You can start the sodium ahead of then, but you want to make sure you keep it throughout so that way it's not all kind of like sweated out by the time you get to the event. There's a big difference, for example, whether you're working out in your home gym or you're driving to a gym. Even something that small creates a lot of variance. Then as you would perform the event, you want to be replacing the glucose with as much as your digestive system kind of allows. So you'd want to be drinking like a sugary drink with some sodium in it. You don't need a caffeine because the caffeine takes about 6 hours or so in your system. So if you had it about an hour before the event, you don't really need it then. So you'd wouldn't be doing, you know, some kind of water, sodium, and sugar. And that would be something like Gatorade, for example. Some people do pickle juice. I had one client drink beet juice. They drink beet juice during their workouts. Okay. But that's kind of what you want to like focus on. Now, if you do the combination of mixed glucose sources, sodium and caffeine, you will get the most absorption of the glucose while you're working out. So that's what the trick of this is. So if I want to have the best energy during my workout, I would, as I get closer to the workout, eliminate fats and proteins. I would then want to drink sugary, liquid sugars, or eat sugars such as candies or fruit or things like that, and have sodium and caffeine. Now, the rate of glycogen usage. So if somebody's like, okay, well, I want to, you know, have an intra-workout drink, for example. How many grams of sugar should I have in the drink? Impossible to know. That's not going to be a fun answer. typically, however much you're using is going to be more than you can consume anyhow. You'll probably just vomit if you try to consume as much fluid sugars to keep up with the activity that you're doing. It kind of depends. So, for example, if I do MMA and I'm doing a five-minute fight, like five-minute round, then I have 1 minute to sit there, I'm going to focus on breathing, not trying to chug a half gallon of Gatorade. And if you did, you just vomit it back out. So the rate of glycogen usage, it varies so much so. Depends on the size of the person, the amount of muscle tissue they have. Whether the activity that you're doing, like, is it anaerobic or aerobic in nature? What is the bout of activity versus the rest time? So in MMA, you might have a 3 minute round, 1 minute rest. In football, it's like the average play is 7 seconds. The average rest time is roughly 25, 30 seconds. So very different rates, like different rates of energy usage. So therefore, the exact amount that you would want to replenish is so variable that it's almost impossible for me to put it into a podcast. I would have to know what you're doing to then give you more specific advice. But how we can kind of use this is to know that, okay, does it have some effect on performance? Yes. Should I try to replenish glucose while I work out? Yes. So drinking something with sugar in it while you work out to whatever amount you can tolerate is very helpful. If you want to put some sodium in it, will that help? Sure. You know, like if you want to eat some hard candies and drink the sugar, so that way you get multiple glucose sources, will that help? Sure. It then becomes, how significant is this and do I need to do it? So that's why we're going into the second question of, should I do that? So the first question was, is why would somebody worry about glucose absorption? So we answered that. Now we want to go into, do you need to worry about glucose absorption? This is the more important part, because now that you know what it is and why somebody would do it, do you need to do it? Do you need to spend the energy and the attention on this? Well, yes and no. It depends on where you're at with your nutrition adherence and the quality of your diet. It also depends on your goal. You know, if your goal is fat loss, going into the event, like of a workout, so say you're going into a normal, regular workout. Well, I don't want to eat in a caloric surplus for 12 to 24 hours before the workout, because that's going to negate the whole point of me trying to lose fat. So no, if your goal is fat loss, and you're going into a normal, regular workout, no, you do not want to start 12 to 24 hours ahead of time trying to carb load for a regular workout. Like on the converse side of that is, should you work out fasted? Meaning, should I just not eat at all before I work out? Hell no. Hell no. That's also horrible. We've talked about fasted workouts or fasted cardio before, and it is absolutely trash. It is not very helpful. I'm trying to pull up a podcast right now, but my computer kind of like froze on me. Let me check and see if this is still recording. Yes, it is. Okay, so at some point in time, my internet will start working again, and I will give you the answer to the fasted cardio or fasted workout question. But you should not just work out without any food. That does not put our body in the healthiest state. We actually are causing a ton of stress to our body, which would be like raise cortisol levels. It would jack up your sleep for the day. It would put you in a huge deficit. So your body is actually going to value replacing body fat. So it actually can impede fat loss for the rest of the day. So you might get a big dump of fat being burned off during the workout, but then the entire rest of the day, the body is going to fight to try to replace that and actually reinforce and put more back in, which is absolutely counter to our goals. So there's a lot of variance when we look at from the extreme is, do I want to carb load into my workout for fat loss? No. Do I want to eat nothing so I burn the most amount of fat during my workout? Hell no. So what do I do? In general, you should go into a workout having food. If you eat about 3 hours before the workout, have a mix of carbs, fats, and proteins. If you're eating under 3 hours away from the workout, I'd probably reduce the fats and the proteins so that way you can have more of the carbs digest in time for your workout. If you're eating less than an hour before the workout, I would focus on more sugary foods so that way you at least have some energy. All of those nutrition, like all of those meals, whether you're eating 3 hours out, 2 hours out, 1 hour out, or 15 minutes out, they all have to consider and be factored into your daily caloric intake. So you need to be tracking and knowing what your total calories are for the day. you need to be tracking and knowing what your protein is for the day. And you have to have your calories and protein distributed correctly throughout the day. Those things have to be in place before this concept really matters, in the sense that if I am perfecting having glucose right before my workout, but I have absolutely no clue how many calories I'm eating a day, then I might have a great workout, but I might not get fat loss. I might not get muscle development. I might not get strength development. If I don't have the baseline of basic habits in place, then timing my glucose absorption isn't going to have the long-term big picture effect that I think it will. It might help me have a great workout, but my workout isn't going to lead to what I want it to lead to. So you want to have enough calories to work out if your goal is fat loss, but you certainly don't want to be in a caloric surplus to do so. Now, what happens if your goal is, muscle building, but you want to stay lean while you're doing it? Well, you can go into the workout with a small surplus, and you should, absolutely, but you don't want to go into it with a major surplus, just a controlled surplus. And then you want to pull back on carbohydrates after the workout, but make sure your proteins come back in as quickly as you can so you build and repair the muscle tissue. So you would want to peak your carbs and fats for the day before the workout and around the workout, within the workout, and then have it taper off. Whereas you want to peak your protein during the workout and after the workout. So this can get nuanced if you want it to, or it can be something as simple as what I talk about very often in the podcast is, the first 6 hours of being awake, I want to have a third of my calories and protein. The second 6 hours of being awake, I want to have another third of my calories and protein. The third 6 hours of being awake, I want to have the other third of my calories and protein. For most people, that's a pain in the ass enough to get correct. They're not going to even be able to worry about, am I eating the right type of carbohydrate before my workout? They're just focusing, am I even freaking eating before I work out? So that's where we have to know where on the scale of what matters most am I to know if this matters at all for you. That's where podcast 1232 can help. It's titled Start Here, so that way you can go through it and look and see, okay, am I doing enough that matters most that then this matters? I need to know and be tracking my calories. I need to know and be tracking my protein. I need to know and be tracking my distribution of those elements. I would actually then probably encourage somebody to look at controlling sugars away from their workouts. Make sure you're not having a ton of sugar away from your workout time. I'd also want to kind of normalize sodium intake throughout the day, like from day to day. Variations of sodium intake per day, if you have big swings like 2,000 milligram per day swings, you're going to have varying degrees of water retention, varying degrees of daily energy, varying degrees of hydration. So there's a lot to look at just that. And then if we look outside of just nutrition, if I want to peak my workout performance, I need to look at sleep management, right? It doesn't matter if I have the best pre-workout meal or pre-workout food if I only had 3 hours of sleep last night. That's like, putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. It's not going to do much, right? How about stress management? If I work out after work and I had a super stressful day, my mind is just fried and I'm thinking of a million things, I can have the right food and it's not going to make a damn bit of difference. I'm not going to maximize my performance. So there's a lot to consider other than even just food, other than just calories, protein, and distribution, sleep, stress. So there's a lot to factor into. But can we benefit from the information in this clip or in this podcast today? Yes, in the sense that it is true that in order for me to have good energy before the workout, I want to have, carbohydrates, like enough calories coming in. You might get your calories from fats and proteins. Okay, fine. If you want to do the keto thing, I'm not a big fan of that. It's not a sustainable way of life. It's not maximal for performance. But if you want to do it, do it. Just make sure you have enough calories before you work out. So eat something before you work out. That's important. It's helpful to know that that's a good thing to do. Eat or drink something. So if you wake up in the morning, like I have some people, they wake up in the morning, they have to take thyroid medication, they're not allowed eating or drinking anything for an hour, but they want to work out, roughly about 30 minutes to 45 minutes after they wake up. Then go ahead and start your workout and then just try to drink some sugars or Gatorade during the second half of the workout so you at least have some energy to finish the workout. And you can reduce cortisol levels and start already replenishing the body. So we do special things where they might have some glucose with some whey protein towards the second half of the workout. So there's a lot of little nuances that we pay attention to and we account for on an individual basis. But in the general sense, should I eat before I work out? Yes. Should you eat carbohydrates with minimal fats and proteins? Yes, as you get closer to the workout. Does adding sodium and caffeine to my foods before I work out help? Absolutely. Yes, it does. Should I have an intra-workout drink? Should I drink something while I work out? Absolutely, yes. Try to minimize protein, like whole food protein. Try to minimize fats. You want basically just sugars. Yes, that's a great thing to do. Okay? So those are things that we can take away from this and know that that's a pretty good idea. It is something we should do. Okay? So for this person who sent in the kind of comments, yes, I'm super freaking happy for you. You're having great workouts. What the guy said in the video is true. In order to replenish glycogen fastest during bouts of exercise or activity, using multiple glucose sources is good. Adding sodium and caffeine is good. It does help a lot. Great. Whew. Now, hopefully, all of us got to learn a little bit, something weird and fun and like a neat little trick you can use before and during workouts to have great energy. But hopefully we also did not get confused on, do I need to do this and how much does this matter? It only matters if we account for what matters most first. Knowing and tracking calories, knowing and tracking protein, knowing and tracking distribution. Maybe look at controlling sugars away from your workouts. Try to normalize sodium. And then also look at stuff like this. So listen to podcast 1232, nutrition podcast titled Start Here. And that'll help you know when you get to the point that today's topic is important and worth your time and effort to pay attention to. Awesome. Well, I hope that my answers are always informative so you can learn something fun and neat about nutrition, but I hope they always kind of come back to making things clear and concise as to what matters most and what we should give our attention to. So if anybody else has any questions, maybe you've heard something that makes you feel confused and you're not sure if it's important or how important it is, this is great. That's fun. Send it in. I would love to help you understand if and when that is important and if and when it's right for you. Cool. Well, thank you to the listener. I hope you enjoyed this answer. I hope this is what you wanted. And thank you to everybody else who listened. I hope that it was beneficial. If you do like our podcast, if you think our podcast is beneficial, please consider sharing it. The more we share it, especially on social media, the more people check in and listen, and the more people we can help. And that's the whole point. So thank you to those who've been sharing the podcast on social media. I truly appreciate it. It's really awesome to see the podcast numbers grow and to have the sense that it's been able to help more people. So thank you. Thank you to the patrons of the podcast, the people who financially support the podcast through the Podbean podcast platform. You can sign up to do a small monthly donation there, or you can do a one-time donation on our Instagram homepage. There's a link there as well. The podcast is well over $1,000 a year, so the financial help really does help in order to make this possible and reasonable to do every single day and for free. Thank you. And then also, if you like the information we share in a podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, anything you want to know, let us know at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.